Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And Ira Winterman is going to join us here. And boy, do we have a lot to unpack from this past segment. So Alex Solana revealed that he eats mac and cheese with a spoon. I think anybody over five would transition into a fork for that. He puts ketchup and or bananas on rice, among other things. And now we've got people texting in. I'm so glad you actually want to know my answer to these questions, but cake, spoon, or fork? Fork. Fork for cake. You don't need a spoon for that. Cake is solid. This one's really easy. Baked potato, fork, or spoon? A fork. Who eats a baked potato with a spoon? Cookie Monster texted in, I eat pie with a spoon. No, I eat pie with a fork. Ira Winterman from the South Florida Sun Sentinel joins us. Ira is powered by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. Call 1-800-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733. Ira, if you have a plate of mac and cheese in front of you, do you eat that with a spoon or a fork?
Almost everything you said, Dono, is fork food, simply because I'm older than five.
Right, thank you.
A spoon is the kind of thing you give your kid at the little, you know, little table there for the kids where they're in the high chair and it's easier to scoop stuff up. And then, look, everything, especially manly, you want the prongs, you want a weapon, you want to weaponize your meals. That's what a fork does. A fork is like playing offense on food. You're, like you said in your example, you're attacking the baked potato.
Yeah.
You're going in for the kill. You're performing surgery. The spoon is like defense. Oh, my mac cheese sauce is gonna fall between the fork. It's clearly the difference that now we know that Solana is more of a defensive eater.
He is.
I can understand that. Also, when you use the spoon, it's less likely something gets on your bib. Otherwise, to me, a fork, five and above, you go fork. Matter of fact, anything where there's a question, fork or spoon, I believe man's going to go to fork anyway because you have a weapon and a utensil.
Yeah, like people, based on what has been texted in, the only things I can think of that I would use a spoon for, oatmeal, somebody did text that in. Although, you know, if the oatmeal's thick enough, you could consider a fork, but overall spoon for that. Cereal and milk is spoon food, pudding, yogurt, that's spoon food. Soup, obviously, spoon food. But outside of that, Ira, I don't think you have a leg to stand on.
Actually, one that people have debated for years, and I'll let Solana get back in on this so he can recover here. And I think this is the ultimate fork spoon debate point. This is not me. I've seen this before. Ice cream cake.
Ooh.
See, now you're thinking. I've gotten you to pause.
Oh, it's a fork.
Oh, so you're going fork on that one?
Now you're coming back. That, to me, is a debate point. Because as the ice cream cake is one of the rare foods that you eat while it melts. So at some point of the ice cream cake experience, a fork's not going to cut it anymore.
Yeah, I'd go spoon for that now that I think about it.
That's what I think. I think a melting food is a little bit different. I've been studying this for years. I've been checking the responses. I'm looking right now at my Twitter analytics. I think that's when you have to go spoon, or else you might only get half your meal. I mean, Solana, you're going fork there. I understand. What happens halfway through your ice cream cake when the ice cream is all of a sudden melted on the bottom of the plate? What's your fork going to do for you there?
You turn that plate into the same way you'd eat cereal, and you just take down the melted ice cream, Ira.
You slurp it down. That's fine. If you want to turn your plate into a bowl, that's fine. You know, or maybe we'll get you a sippy cup. So I totally understand that. But to me, ice cream cake is the ultimate question there.
You know, Ira, when it took us a little while to track you down, I thought maybe there might be some Dwayne Wade news breaking.
Oh my God.
Unfortunately, that's not the case.
And
but
you know what? And I really expected that to happen in lockstep. I said, okay. Yeah. They're going to announce, or we're going to find out about UD last week. They made it official. They always like to get him in the office today. He signs the contract. It looks good. They put out some nice video on it. I understood. Then there would be part B. And even now, in the last few minutes, Dwayne Wade has sent out a tweet saying, congratulations, no one's been more selfless than I've ever met. You know, 16 years and nothing from Dwayne. I don't know what's going on behind the scenes, so I'm not going to overstate it. But to me, it's really awkward. We are now 2 weeks before the start of camp. Camp starts tomorrow, 2 weeks from tomorrow. It's not a good look that if a player is either one really weighing back and forth whether he wants to play or not, not that I'm sure that's the case, then you kind of wonder, well, I've got so many young, hungry players.
Yeah.
Is that the way I want it to look, number one? Number two, if it's a matter of not offering the mid-level exception, which, again, I am not sure, it's not a good look for management. Like, wait a minute. You are still on September 10th negotiating with the all-time greatest player in the history of your franchise? I mean, just last week I heard Pat Riley was texting Dwayne. Really? Are we back at texting and doing something like that? So I do find this odd. I am sure no matter how it plays out, they'll say, no, this is the way we wanted to. When you played 15 years, you have the right to wait. You did anyway. But you're right, Dono. It's a very awkward look right now. And yes, I really kind of thought I'd be done with this story. That one day I could say, okay, I now have 20 players in camp, the maximum. They have 19 now. Now I could take a break and get ready for camp and enjoy some football. And literally every day I'm still checking my Twitter or my Instagram to see what's up with Dwayne.
Is it now becoming a possibility, or maybe even a remote possibility, that the same sort of awkwardness that came out two summers ago could become an issue again between Wade, Riley, and Mickey?
It seems that way. It seems to me that even if everyone says, no, everything is solved, it's not an issue, I don't know if I'll be buying. I want to see more into the season, how it plays out right now, because it seems a bit odd. And here's the other part of the equation, Dono, and this is real. I don't know if Deion Waiters is going to be ready for the start of the season.
Right. Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that because he posted on Instagram, once I'm cleared from the dock, it's on. But when is he cleared from the dock? When is it on?
And you know what usually happens? I, of course, went to the Heat. I said, hey, is there anything to this? Didn't hear back in a couple of days, so I wrote off of what I had. Usually when I do something like that, I will hear from someone either privately or otherwise, hey, don't worry about it. It's taken care of. That's BS. You're overstating the story. I've heard nothing about it. I've heard nothing like, hey, hold off, Ira. In a week, you're going to find out it's cleared and that's it. I'm not so sure he's going to be the opening night starting shooting guard, which I think, Donna, we all thought was a given.
Yeah.
I've been telling people my sort of givens in the Heat starting lineup were going to be Goran Dragic, Hassan Whiteside, and Deion Waiters. That those three, your starters who start the small forward, who start the power forward, how they move it around, that part I didn't know. Now I wonder about Deion. And if he's not, you sort of need Dwayne more than ever because he sort of was the Deion Waiters fill-in to get them to the playoffs and have their lone playoff victory last season.
Well, I got to tell you, another one of those names you mentioned, I wonder at least a little bit about Goran Dragic, Ira. Devin Booker out 6 weeks with a hand fracture. Could that add some incentive for the Suns to want to reacquire a familiar face in Goran Dragic?
You know, it's interesting, and I wrote that for my Sunday column at sunsentinel.com. And one of the things I wrote why it's less likely is this. The Suns aren't going anywhere this season anyway. Even before this Devin Booker injury, which might not cost them any regular season time, I would find it hard to believe, I know you don't have much time left for your show, but for you to line up the teams in the West and find any possible way that the Phoenix Suns make the playoffs.
No.
With a Goran Dragic, without a Goran Dragic. With a healthy Devin Booker, with less than healthy. There's too much there. We're debating right now whether the Lakers with LeBron are going to make the playoffs. So I think when you look at it that way, you have to sort of step back and say, if Phoenix, why would they give up anything tangible to get a starting older quarterback who has 1 year and an option left? And you know what? If they trade for Goran, he may opt out of that final year because of the way they treated him the first time around, or simply because he wants to finish career on a playoff contender. So I know there's been the noise. There's been talk out of Phoenix. They said that Goran's been available, and maybe he is. That part I'm not debating. But it doesn't seem to make sense for the Suns to give up anything tangible. That said, Dono, if they were offering a quality first-round pick, not someone else's in the 20s,
right,
but a potential lottery pick, if I'm the Heat, I think I'd step back and consider it.
Me too. Absolutely. We're joined here by Ira Winterman from the South Florida Sun Sentinel. You know, Ira, I hadn't asked you about this on that the former Kings executive who joined the Heat, Jeffrey David, who he was accused of embezzling millions from the Sacramento Kings. Have there been any criminal charges filed? And what's the latest on that story? Is he still on leave with the Heat?
No, I wrote the story last week. He's out. The Heat announced that he is no longer a member of our team. So clearly there are bigger issues there than trying to get started in a new job. He is not with the Heat anymore. The FBI, they're still under investigation. There's a whole web there. Usually it's a matter of finding people willing to either come in, make a plea or something like that. But, you know, the good thing for me, and I always say this, it's not a Heat story anymore. And for that, I'm glad. Because in recent years, with the Gerald Green story, for example, and after that with Willie Reed, it always seems on the cusp of a season. I can remember in September when all of a sudden Michael Beasley is sending out Instagrams with really curious things in the background and what happens after that. So I would very much like Dwayne Wade to sign. The Heat will be the off-season limit of 20 players. Then you know in media day, 2 weeks from today, you can go in, you know what you have, and you move forward. For as quiet an off-season it's been for the Heat, the last thing I need is any of those sort of dramatics over these next 2 weeks.
Ira, you have watched, covered, attended, been a part of some remarkable and historic and odd sporting events during your time covering South Florida sports. Where does a 7 hour, 8 minute long regular season NFL game, I imagine you were watching at least some of that yesterday, rank with you?
It was just a bizarre day because I always try to claim part of my day. And the good thing is I went out on my bike early, got 20 miles in, came back, started watching the Dolphins and said, okay, I'm now willing to commit the next 3 hours. It was important. I'm going to be filling in for Joe a couple of days this week.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I had to see the game. They're done Tuesday and Wednesday. So I got to get to bed soon. So I was watching the game, getting ready. And then I got to be honest with you. And I even tweeted this. After this, in the second delay when it got that long, this is a league that talks about concussions, about player safety and player health. It can't be that healthy for an NFL player to stop, start, to stretch, unstretch, restretch, to eat, to not know when to eat, to go back in. Dave Hyde had a wonderful column on it today, the Sun Sentinel, where they're running out of food and their peanut butter and jelly and turkey sandwiches to the point where they're eating the post-game meal during the game before it, you know, resumes for the second time.
You know, I find that funny because there was plenty of extra food in the press box. We were eating like kings, Ira.
Yeah, well, someone was eating good. Even in Shea Winderman over here, we were trying to figure out how to call out for more food. So supplies were running low. We almost went into the dreaded hurricane supplies. That's how long the wait was. But, I mean, and that's the thing. So the NFL talks about player safety. It can't be in the player's best interest to have two lengthy breaks like that and still go out and play football. Here's the question, though, I had, and I put this on Twitter, and I almost want to talk to Kevin Rogers or someone about it. If you play daily fantasy and they suspended the Dolphins game to a later date, maybe even to Monday or maybe to some other point on a Wednesday during the season, since there weren't that many minutes, what happens to your daily fantasy game? Are you just out of luck because your game only went 35 minutes? Do they tell everyone who bet the daily fantasy game, which is just one day, that no, you have to wait until this game is resumed? So I'm kind of curious. I think it opened a real can of worms also.
Yeah, that's a great question. And I imagine that that is unprecedented, that that has never happened before in daily fantasy. And I don't know what would be fair. And even if it is fair to wait until the game is played, how do you literally do that? I think that is a tremendous question.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand if you bet on the game, the books or whatever, more sports betting will say, when the game is over, we will pay off or not pay off. I can understand that. Hockman was talking to me about a bunch of propositions, Ryan Tannehill's yardage, Kenny and Drake's yardage, you know, on a game-by-game basis they offer. Fine, you wait till the game is over and go from there. But otherwise, on the daily fantasy, when you're supposed to be able to play today and cash in tonight, that to me is when it gets awfully interesting also. It was crazy, including to the point where all of a sudden the game went off TV. And all of a sudden, at 8 o'clock, I'm watching there, and wow, Fox has a new comedy show. I don't care. So I thought that was interesting, and the way it popped back on. No, I can't recall anything being as odd as that. The one exception I'll give you would be this. The air conditioning going out during the NBA Finals
in San Antonio
in 2014, only because the sense was when we were sitting at San Antonio, well, it's got to go back on soon, and then it's 10 minutes and 20 minutes and 30 minutes and a quarter and a half, and you're realizing this isn't stopping, and you're watching everyone just like fanning themselves and perspiring and almost being trapped in AT&T Arena.
Yeah, and then maybe if the guy who wore number 6 was in a little bit better condition, we wouldn't have had those issues late in that game.
Oh, don't kid yourself. You think back to that. He would have been up 2-0 in that series coming home, and the world would be at different places. We know it right now.
If that guy only knew how to stretch back in those days. He is Ira Winderman, covers the Miami Heat for the South Florida Sun Sentinel, does a damn fine job, also on this radio station. So tomorrow morning, Wednesday morning, you're in for Joe?
Chris Whittingham and myself will be filling in for Joe and Zach. They deserve some time off, so we will be there. And I will leave you with this final thought of, when in doubt, put a fork in it.
Love it. See, that was strong. And Ira and I, we agree on a lot of things. Forks being no exception to that.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.